Let's take God's Word together and turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians. The New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 5. And we've been looking, many of you know, at what it is to walk as a believer should walk. We talked many weeks ago about standing against the wiles of the devil, standing against the attacks of Satan. Then we had to back up. Because long before you can stand against Satan, you've got to learn what it is to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we learn how to walk. And there are six times that Paul speaks to us about walking as we should walk. And if you remember last week, we looked at walking as children of light. And today we come to the sixth one, the last time that Paul references in this book about walking. And in Ephesians chapter 5, look at it with me, please. We won't read the entirety of the passage because of time. But if you remember, in verse number 8, we were told, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Would you look here for a moment? The moment you come to know Christ as your Savior, when you repent of your sins, and by faith believe that He died for you, was buried and rose again, you are rescued. You're taken out of darkness and you're put into light. It's like somebody turns a light on in your heart and in your mind. And that's what everybody needs. And so we're told to walk like a children of light. Stop walking like you used to walk. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's an interesting thought. You used to be darkness. You used to walk in darkness, talk in darkness, live in darkness. And now that you've been rescued and brought into the light, you're told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Meaning, have nothing to do with the things you used to do. No more. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We shouldn't even talk about it. But all things are reproved or discovered, made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, watch this, he saith, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." There might be some of you tonight who are dead, and you need to hear those words, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." If you're in darkness tonight, you need light. And then we have our sixth command about walking in verse number 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." There it is. Look at it. Verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Here's your command. There's six command. Walk circumspectly. That's an interesting word, isn't it? The word, you might say, to sum it all up, is to walk very carefully. In fact, it's more than walking carefully. It literally means this. It literally means walk exactly. Walk accurately and diligently. The Greek word is this. Akribos. Reminds you of acrobat. Walk like you're walking on a tightrope. And if you're walking on a tightrope, you have to walk exactly and precisely. You can't afford to take a little bit of a detour to the left, because half a centimeter, a millimeter of a detour may cause you to tumble and fall. Walk exactly. Walk precisely, accurately, carefully. Somebody said it like more than walking on a tightrope. It's like walking on a tightrope between the tallest buildings in the world with alligators on both sides. You better walk carefully. F.B. Meyer said this one time. He said, pick your way amid the pitfalls of the world. Gird up your flowing robes with dainty care, lest they be soiled by the filth of the street. Beware of any side paths that would lead your steps away from the narrow track. Watch and pray. Especially be careful to turn every moment of time into an opportunity of making progress in the divine life. Take heed to the moments, and the hours will take heed to themselves. That's good, isn't it? Walk carefully. You ever seen a lady, a proper lady who's dressed very properly and carefully, trying to walk, pick their way through a muddy field, pulling up her dress a little bit and tiptoeing here very carefully, not wanting the heel of her shoes to get muddy and dirty, not wanting the hem of her garment to be dirty? That's the way you and I ought to walk spiritually. Very carefully. Very, very carefully. Exactly. The next step in walking is this. The first thing we read was to walk in good works. We're to walk worthy of the vocation we're called. We're to walk not as other Gentiles walk. We're to walk in love. We're to walk as children of light. And here's the next one. Walk circumspectly. Following the command of walking as children of light. And because we are children of light, because we can see, therefore, because we can see, we know where to walk. Because we are children of light and we are commanded to walk in the light, we now can walk carefully. But you can't do that if you're not walking as children of light. If you're not walking in the light, then you don't know where to walk. I know many a believer, and I believe they're truly saved, but I'm telling you, they're not walking as children of light. They keep going back to the darkness. And no wonder they're never getting anywhere. Never getting anywhere in their Christian life. You and I, because we are children of light, we can walk exactly and precisely. Because Christ has given thee light. That's what verse 14 says. And Christ shall give thee light. So see then that you walk circumspectly. Because Christ has given us light, then we can walk carefully. Now, let me talk to you tonight about your options. You've got two options. I'm sorry, but you've only got two. You've got two options this evening. According to verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Would you look here? You've got two choices. You can walk like a fool, or you can walk like a wise man. That's it. And can I just tell you, anything in between is a fool. Anything in between is a fool. Pavarotti was told one time by his father, he said, I don't know if I should be a professional singer or if I should be a teacher. And his father said to him, young man, you can't sit on two chairs at the same time or you'll fall in the middle. And there are a lot of people who are trying to walk in the world and trying to follow Jesus, and they're sitting in the middle. And if you sit in the middle, you're going to fall. You can't do both. You can't walk as a fool and as a wise man, or else you're just a big fool. One or the other. You've got two options tonight, two ways to walk, two choices. And if you remember, we've already been told in chapter 4 and 5 about what a fool walks like. Just bear with me for a moment. In chapter 4, let me give you a list of what Paul warns the believer from walking against. He says in chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth from now on be no more like little children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We can't be that way. A fool changes his mind every other day. He's blown about. This new doctrine comes in, this new way comes in, and he's back and forth and up and down. No, you can't be like that. You cannot be like that. That's why I encourage our brethren, brothers and sisters, find a church that preaches the Bible and stay in it. Because if you're in a couple of different places, and you like this place because you really like the music, and you like this place because you really like the people and the lunches, Well, then you've got a problem because now you've got two different philosophies of ministry and oftentimes two different sets of doctrine. And you're like a child being tossed to and fro. You'll never grow that way. That's the walk of a fool. He goes on, not only that, being tossed to and fro like a child carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. Verse 17, the Bible says this, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. An emptiness, a fool has an empty mind. A fool thinks about rubbish. And empty, I don't mean by there's nothing in his mind, but there's nothing good in his mind. That's exactly what Paul is saying. There's nothing of any substance in the mind of a fool. A fool is thinking about their next joy, their next entertainment, their next thrill, their next fix, whatever it may be, their next big thing that they can get, their next step in progress for their own selves. A fool is only ever thinking about themselves and what they can get and milk out of this world. Vanity, emptiness. Emptiness. Vanity of the mind. Verse 18, a fool, not only that, but a fool has their understanding darkened. You remember this? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. A fool has a blind heart. A fool has darkened understanding. They're an alien. They don't even know God. A fool in verse number 19 is past feeling. They've grown so calloused to the things, the conviction of God's Spirit. They have no more feeling. That's what verse 19 says. Verse 22, listen here, says this, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. A fool is corrupt. His thinking is corrupt. His motives are corrupt. A fool lives in corruption. And we are told to put that off. Verse 25 says, put away lying. A fool lies. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We find in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. A fool gives place to the devil. Can we have some help here, please? A fool gives place to the devil. And not only that, but we read in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. A fool continues in the ways that they've always continued. But it goes on, the scripture saying, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. A fool's communication is only corrupt. His life, his conversation is all corrupt. It goes on in verse number 30, grieve not the Spirit of God. A fool is constantly grieving the Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Your mouth is just awful. Chapter 5, flip over there, verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. That's the behavior of a fool. Verse number 4, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, conversation of a fool. Verse 5, no whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, idolater. All of that is the behavior of a fool. Vain words, verse 6. Children of disobedience. All of these things. And the Bible says in verse 6, why is that important that we don't walk like fools? Well, now we're told in chapter 4, chapter 5, what a fool looks like. And in verse 6, we're told why we shouldn't walk like that. The Bible says, because of these things comes the wrath of God. Because of these things, if you walk like that, you are waiting, as James said a moment ago, for the wrath of God. If you walk like that, it's just any moment, any second, before God, the heavens are opened and the wrath of God is poured out upon you. Some people imagine when Jesus comes back, it's all going to be great and hunky-dory. It will be for the child of the living God, but not for those who have rejected Christ and lived as fools. Not for those who say with their lips that they believe, but their life denies them. Not for those, not at all. Not at all. And we continue reading. The scriptures say that we cannot walk as fools, but the other option from walking as a fool is to walk as a wise man. And that is to walk circumspectly. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Walk circumspectly. How do we walk carefully? How do we walk exactly and precisely and accurately? I'll tell you why. Look here. You can't know that unless you know where you're walking. That makes sense, doesn't it? You can't know, you can't walk exactly where you should walk unless you know where you should walk. And that's why, look here, that's why so many believers stand like this for all of their life. They never move from one spot because they never know where to walk. And the reason they don't know where to walk is because they're not walking in the light. They're living in darkness. And they're not studying the scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know where to walk according to this book. According to God's word. And we're given a few things here. Look with me, first of all, in verse 16. Redeeming the time. Here's how we walk carefully. You've got to learn to redeem the time. That phrase is very interesting. Here's what it means. You buy back like a very shrewd businessman looking for opportunities. Maybe somebody there at the Wall Street there down at the stock market trying to buy up stocks at just the right time. As a very wise, trying to purchase it at just the right time because he knows it's going to make him a wealthy man. Well, you and I looking for opportunities, walking, watching very carefully that we might redeem the time, buy back every opportunity to serve God. That's what you and I have got to do. You will never, ever walk the way you should walk while you're not looking for opportunities to walk and glorify God. Do you know why so many Christians live a casual, nominal, comfortable Christian life? It's because they never think about walking for God, living for God. Do you know why so many Christians are just flat out asleep? It's because they're not thinking about it. They're not looking for ways to serve God. They're not looking for opportunities. Somebody once said, oh, y'all just too busy. Well, it's because we are looking for every opportunity to do something with our time for the glory of God. I'd rather be busy about my Father's business than busy about the business of the world. So let us redeem the time looking for the opportunities that are right in front of us. I wonder, would you look here? I wonder how many opportunities tonight are in front of you. I wonder how many we've missed. They tell me I'm not a linguist and I'm not as sharp on my knowledge of the original languages as I should be, but they tell me that in the Greek there are two Greek words in reference to time. One that refers to time like moment by moment and hour by hour, and one that refers to a particular group or block of time, referring to an opportunity, the time. And that's how it's often distinguished in the Authorized Version, the time. So when we're told to redeem the time, it doesn't mean necessarily moment by moment and hour by hour, although that's true, but it is more a reference to the opportunity. Take every single opportunity. And so you look at it moment by moment, and you look at it hour by hour, but you look at it as an opportunity. Looking carefully. We were there yesterday at the Epsom races. We had obviously nothing to do with the betting side of it all. There were people over there looking and carefully trying to know which horse to bet on. What a waste of time. Do you know what I said to one man? I said there as we stood in the lanes there on the Epsom Downs. There were literally thousands of people. I said to one man, this is all an illusion. This is all just an illusion. It's a game. Well, everything you see right now is not reality. Nobody lives like this. This is a distraction from hell. That's what this is. And I said to that man, I said, look, what you need to do is wade through all of this nonsense and get down to the reality of the matter. You're either going to be a fool or you're going to be wise. You're either going to go with the flow and all this nonsense, or you're going to recognize today is a day of salvation and get right with God. Redeeming the time. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 10. It's the same word, same idea that we get. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. As you have opportunity. Let us do good. So there's your first way that we walk carefully, is that we redeem the time. I wonder, are you guilty of missing opportunities? I am. Look at the next thing. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It goes on. By the way, that's all the more reason to walk carefully because the days are evil. All the more reason to take good opportunities because the days are evil. But then it goes on and says this. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding. You're going to walk very carefully. You're going to have to learn to be understanding. Walking circumspectly is being understanding. And I wonder tonight, are you understanding? Understanding in what? Here's the key. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. You will never walk the way you should walk unless you know what God's will is. That's why I think so many Christians are stuck. So many believers are stuck because they don't know what the will of God is. They don't know what God's will is. And the reason they don't know what God's will is because they're not walking in the light. And the reason that they don't know what the will of God is because they're not redeeming the time. They're not looking for the opportunity. They're not looking to see where God would have them to walk and where they ought to go. And therefore they don't understand. I love this. Look at the verse. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So part of walking circumspectly is understanding the will of God. And you will never, you can never understand what the will of the Lord is unless you are walking circumspectly. Now we sometimes think, I'm going to park it right here. I'm going to stay right here until I know what God wants, exactly what He wants me to do. Wrong. You want to walk in the light. And as you walk in the light, you will know what the will of God is. If you're waiting for God to drop a billboard in the sky to take an airplane and write a message for you to tell you what the next step is, you're wrong. You do what you know God wants you to do now. And He'll show you the next step. He'll show you understanding what the will of the Lord is. He goes on. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Walking circumspectly involves a number of things, as we've seen already. It involves redeeming the time. It involves understanding the will of God. And it involves being filled with the Spirit. You cannot walk the way you should walk unless you're filled with God's Spirit. And it literally means this, you are constantly being filled with the Spirit. Now, I believe with all of my heart that when a person is born again, they are baptized by the Spirit of God. They are filled with the Spirit of God. And they have the Spirit of God living within them. But I do know this is the command to the believer to continue to be filled. What that means is not that the Holy Spirit leaks out of you. That's what some people have imagined in the past. Some people think, well, throughout the week, the Holy Spirit kind of seeps out of you, drips out of you. So you got to come back to church on Sunday, get topped up. That's what people say. Well, that's silly. The Spirit of God's a person, not a liquid. The Spirit of God is a person, not a substance. He is a person, the Holy Spirit. He is God, and He lives inside of you. So look at what the verse means. What does it mean to be filled? Well, the Scriptures say, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So they're comparing drunkenness of wine to being filled with the Spirit. It's a matter of control. It's a matter of who is it that has control over your life? And the command then to the child of God, it's a command, by the way, to you, which has to be obeyed, that you let the Spirit of God control you. That you are constantly yielding to God's Spirit. That you are constantly saying, it's not my will, but thine. That you're constantly looking to Him to show you where the next step is. That you're constantly listening to Him to show you what is next. Be filled under His control. Under His command. Romans chapter 8 speaks so much about this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The command, by the way, can I tell you, you can never live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in our churches, we have been so afraid because some people have absolutely hijacked the Spirit of God and they have gone wild. And because of that, many of our churches are afraid to even talk about the Holy Spirit. But you can't live the Christian life without Him. You cannot live the Christian life without Him. You can't understand the will of God without the Spirit of God. You cannot live and function without the Spirit of the living God. And you will be living in constant self-condemnation unless you're walking in the Spirit. So here are several commands in connection to the Spirit of God. We're told to walk in the Spirit. Same concept. Walk circumspectly. There's a light. The Spirit is saying walk there. So we walk in the Spirit as He leads us. I believe our sister yesterday, I told you a moment ago, that when she walked up to that truck and handed a leaflet, she was walking in the Spirit, being led of God's Spirit. Well, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. We're told that the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ. This whole chapter deals with it. Go down to verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Our minds have got to be spiritual. We've got to think spiritually. We're told in verse 9, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But you do. If you've been born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. It goes on and tells us in verse 13, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, there's another command. They are the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we're told over and over, study this 8th chapter. Speaks about what it is to be filled with God's Spirit. You'll never walk carefully if you're not living constantly under His guidance, under His direction. You think about when a man is drunk, when a person is drunk, when they're filled with wine, when they're drunk with wine, they don't think properly, do they? They don't think the way they usually think. They don't act the way that they usually say stupid things and do stupid things. And so the scriptures say, don't be like that. Instead, be beneath the control of God's Spirit. By the way, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when you're under His control and guidance, He will lead you to say just the right thing. He'll lead you to walk in just the right path. But we don't give enough credit, or we don't lean enough upon the Spirit of the living God. And that's why we constantly are messing up. I believe with all of my heart, this is one of the reasons for such failure in the Christian life, such weakness in the Christian life today, in the church today, because we're not constantly filled with the Spirit of God. Now, walking circumspectly are these things. They are redeeming the time, understanding the will of the Lord, being filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do I walk carefully? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever had one of those people that just aggravated you to death because they sang all the time? Those are good people to have around. We stayed the night at Lower Kingswood the other night there, and there I was trying to get a couple of hours of sleep, and 5:30 in the morning, la-di-da-da-di-da, just outside the door. Now, obviously, you got to choose the right time to do that, But you know what? That's a good thing. I'll tell you why. It's a command. It's a command. Every believer ought to have a song in their heart. That will help you. And I'm not talking about the rubbish songs of the world. If I were you, look, I would bash the radio out of your car if that's a temptation for you. Break up your CDs. But you ought to be listening to that which is edifying to your soul. If you're listening constantly to the rubbish music of the world, then you will never be able to walk the way you should walk. Because that music will be constantly leading your foot this way when the Spirit of God is saying, walk this way. But if you're singing the things of God, if you're singing and singing to yourselves and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, you'll walk the way you should walk. Singing those hymns and psalms and songs, that was a principle ordained of God. God knew that music helps people learn. Music's powerful. If you can get a song in your heart and sing to God in your heart, I'm telling you, you'll have a hard time cursing somebody while you're praising Him, right? You'll have a hard time snapping at somebody while you're giving thanks when you're singing to God. Oh, be careful. This is a part of walking carefully. This is a part of walking accurately, is that constant communion, connection with God through singing in your heart to the Lord. And here's another one, giving thanks always. Part of walking carefully is giving thanks. You're walking there. Ooh, Lord, that's not what I thought. You told me to walk there, Lord. Why is this happening? Giving thanks always. Because He led you. Is God leading us? Is God sovereign? Is He guiding our steps and shining the light on the way? Then thank you, Lord, because we know that all things work together for good. To those that love God, do you love Him? To those who are the called according to His purpose. We can know, even when we walk through valleys, that God has led us. You'll know that, by the way, if you're walking circumspectly, it'll be a whole lot easier to walk through difficulty. Because you know He's leading you. Because you know you're filled with God's Spirit. Because you'll know, you have a connection with Him. You're walking so close. He's led you down these steps and into this valley. And therefore it's going to be okay because He's going to lead you out of it as well. But you're not going to have that assurance if you're not walking carefully and exactly. There's something very special and powerful about walking carefully and exactly where the Spirit tells you to walk. That gives you a liberty and a peace. You're able to give thanks always unto all things, unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. One last thing. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Part of walking very carefully, part of walking exactly, is learning to submit one to another. Is learning to hear a brother or a sister that says, hey, I think you may have been wrong there. Willing to hear someone say, hold on a moment, let me help you. Because perhaps the Spirit of God is using them to help you. Perhaps the Spirit of God has sent someone to you to take you by the hand and to walk you in the right direction. So submit yourselves one to another. Now you'll know that. You'll know that according to your tenderness to God, to you being filled by His Spirit. Now, if there's ever been a time that God's people need to walk circumspectly, it's today. There are more landmines around us than ever before in the history of time. There are more alligators, as it were. There are more pitfalls for the believer. There are more temptations and trials and difficulties than ever known to the planet, to the human race today. And it's getting worse and worse and worse because the scriptures say that as time goes on, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. The love of many shall wax cold. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's getting dark. It is dark. Walk in the light. Walk circumspectly. That's the command, a practical command to the child of God. Tonight, if you've never been saved, here's your first step. Are you listening? If you've never been saved, your first step is to step in the light. By turning from your sins, leaving the darkness behind, calling out for God's mercy and forgiveness, and trusting Him. Believer, get out of your stuck in the mud position and let the Spirit of God lead you. Let's pray together, then we'll sing our final hymn. Lord, help us to walk in these days accurately. Show us, Lord, by Thy Spirit. Give us a tenderness to Thee. A careful walk, Lord. A real sensitivity to Thy Spirit. May we walk in the Spirit. May we walk in light. Oh, Lord, may we know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Guide us, we pray. Help us to take serious attention to this kind of a life. Oh, Lord, we need Thee. At this hour, at this time, we need Thee. Help us to redeem the time, to take every opportunity, Lord, to follow Thee, to live for Thee while there is still time. Guide us, we pray, for we ask it in Christ Jesus' name.